The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We would stick with the issue of politics and presidents, but from an international point of view, because all eyes tomorrow will be on Alaska. Tomorrow evening, shortly after we come off air, Donald Trump will be meeting Vladimir Putin. Emmanuel Shea is with me, a Ukrainian correspondent for Ouest France, for Radio France Internationale and for France 24. Emmanuel, what is the view in Kyiv of this meeting happening in Alaska?
Well, I was just talking with members of parliament a bit earlier today, and there's a big fear that the future of Ukraine is essentially being discussed, but without Ukraine, and that, not being present at the table of negotiations when it comes to talking about the future of the country will be detrimental for Kyiv. That is definitely the feeling that I've had here talking to people. There's also a fear among the population that there will be no ceasefire, because from the ground seen from Ukraine, it is very difficult to think that Russia really has any will whatsoever to stop the fighting.
Despite those concerns, is there any level of resignation that Ukraine and Vladimir Zelensky can do very little about this?
Well, there's what happens on the diplomatic stage internationally, and that is what happens here in Ukraine. And, bombing continues day in, day out on civilians here in Ukraine. The front line doesn't show any sign of winding down, if you will. There's more offensives from Russia, especially in Donetsk region as of today. So Ukrainians, whatever the rest of the world say, they keep on fighting because they're really there in a war of survival. A war that they haven't started. This was unilaterally launched against them by Russia. And actually, it was not even declared as a war per se. So Ukrainians are being quite pragmatic about it also, like they continue the fighting. We can also see that last night there were oil refineries in Russia that were struck by long-range drones that Ukraine launched, even if Ukraine never really confirms such strikes. It is aiming at destroying the Russian economy and Russia's war effort against Ukraine. We see that Kyiv keeps on defending itself no matter what happens on the international stage.
So what would be a positive outcome of these talks then from a Ukrainian point of view?
Well, first off, what would have been positive for Ukrainians is to have been invited to talk about their future. That's not being the case. People here are also hoping that maybe a ceasefire could be agreed upon. Although I have to say that also people I talk to here do not really have any trust in a possible ceasefire with Russia, because there's a history of Russia breaking any treaties, any ceasefire that it agrees upon. So there's the fear that even if there's a ceasefire, is going to be broken, violated, or that it might just be used by Russia to pile up the equipment, to gather more personnel and then attack again. So there's that fear also.
God knows what Ukraine would have to give up when Putin and Trump finish negotiating, says one person listening. And Deck says, what happens if Putin arrives in Alaska and decides Russia has as much rights to that former territory as it has to Ukraine? Shona Murray is with us as well, Emmanuel. She's the European correspondent for Euronews, of course. Shona, what's the prevailing view in Brussels as to what might happen in Alaska tomorrow evening?
Well, look, I don't think anyone thinks anything substantial can happen. But as Emmanuel said, the best that they could hope for is a ceasefire followed by an agreement for a trilateral meeting with, let's say, Trump, Ukraine in Europe and Putin to then discuss how to start negotiations for Ukraine to be given land back. But I think, as Emmanuel also pointed out, the credibility of that ceasefire needs to be, pretty key, because this has happened so many times before that Ukraine has been given security guarantees by the West over the last few decades, and they have completely been destroyed by Putin and Russia. I think what I could say, let's say on the more optimistic side, is that we heard from Frederick Merz, who said that, Trump is more or less on the same side as Europe, and same with the Latvian prime minister. He said they were all on the same page. So the feeling in Europe is that at the very least, Trump understands the position of Europe, that there nothing can be discussed and negotiated about Ukraine without Ukraine, and that there has to be strong security guarantees after any negotiations take place, and that there can't be any recognition of the territory that Russia has stolen from Ukraine. And these are real long shots, really, Kieran, because remember, the desire and demand for Vladimir Putin to take over Ukraine has not subsided. And also, he can't walk away from this war like a loser. We know that that's the case. At the same time, Trump also wants to be a deal maker here. But Zelensky was very strong on what he said. He said, Putin is bluffing.
The public utterances from kind of senior officials at European level are relatively ad idem. You know, there cannot be any territory lost to Russia. This is an illegal invasion, and we would include Crimea and that and what have you. But behind the scenes, is there any level of acceptance that there will be territory lost to Russia?
There is, and there has been for some time now, for well over a year, I would say, that at least Crimea will be lost to Russia. And you know, that's obviously not for me to say, but that is what people are saying. And they've said it loudly, even the former president of the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, lots of people said it. We saw it was the first thing that Pete Hegseth, the US Secretary of Defense, said the moment he arrived in office. We've heard that things like Crimea will be lost. But I think the idea is not that the Ukraine would suddenly give up Crimea or parts of the rest of the east of Ukraine, Donetsk and Luhansk and so on, but that there would be something of a frozen conflict taking place there, that they would be unofficially, temporarily occupied, and that that would be something akin to East and West Germany, in fact. And I don't know if that's something that will emerge, but that's something that has been said. Look, Crimea may be lost for the time being, at least end the war for the moment, and then that Ukraine could get back some of the territory. But most of all, the war has ended, and then you have contact lines agreed, and then you have security guarantees from the United States and the coalition of the willing European countries with peace enforcers and peacekeepers there. That's the idea in the long run.
Let me ask you about the coalition of the willing. I mean, how important or otherwise are they in terms of the next stage in the process? Very important if indeed there's kind of peacekeepers on the ground ultimately. But, you know, we talk about, you know, possible kind of three-way meetings, trilateral meetings, and that doesn't include that one of the legs of that stool is not the European Union. It's Trump, it's Putin, it's Vladimir Zelensky representing Ukraine. You know, how much import should we take from what is happening, say, in Downing Street today? Or is this just optics?
Well, it's not just optics, because the UK is playing a huge role in the coalition of the willing, because the coalition of the willing is more or less NATO, but without the United States. And also Ireland is involved in the coalition of the willing. We're not in NATO. Ireland has said that it would be willing to put peacekeepers, which is well within the Irish tradition of neutrality and United Nations and so on. So it wouldn't be a peace enforcement sort of grouping. It would be that we deploy peacekeepers like we do in Lebanon and other parts. The UK has been steadfast in its support of Ukraine, offering long-range missiles, and also inviting Zelensky there to once again, like he was in Berlin yesterday, to once again create the atmosphere that Zelensky is not alone and Europe will stand four square behind Ukraine no matter what. And that is actually really important. So it wasn't a minor thing. And the friend of Keir Starmer, he's one of the first countries that said that they would deploy peace enforcement troops in the case of a negotiated outcome. So I think Ukraine really is quite grateful to the role the UK is playing here.
All right. Well, the images on our screen here are of Vladimir Zelensky outside 10 Downing Street with Keir Starmer. But all eyes tomorrow will be on Alaska and the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. In the meantime, Seán O'Murray, thank you for your time. Seán is the European correspondent for Euronews, and Emmanuel Shays, who is the Ukraine correspondent for US France, for Radio France Internationale and for France 24.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.